Today, the American Civil Liberties Union and the Center for Constitutional Rights filed a lawsuit against senior CIA and military officials for ordering drone strikes that killed three U.S. citizens in Yemen. None of the three had been charged with any crime. They were far from any field of battle at the time they were killed, and only one had been named in the U.S. targeted kill list of persons designated for extrajudicial execution.
This suit is really about the basic principle that when our government is killing its own citizens, it has the obligation to explain what it's doing and to observe the Constitution's guarantee of due process.
Nate Wessler is a fellow with the ACLU's National Security Project.
So the lawsuit brings claims under the Constitution's Due Process Clause, as well as the Fourth Amendment, and also under the Bill of Attainder Clause. And the issues at stake here are that last September, the CIA and the military's Joint Special Operations Command used armed drones to carry out the deliberate, premeditated killing of Anwar al-Awlaki, a U.S. citizen who had been suspected of terrorism but never charged with a crime, and also killed Samir Khan, another U.S. citizen, in that strike. And then 2 weeks later, in a separate drone strike, killed 16-year-old Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, who had never been suggested had anything to do with any terrorist organization whatsoever.
There was a suit that was filed prior to the killings by Anwar al-Awlaki's father, trying to stop the Obama administration from killing his son. That suit was turned down. Now, in that argument, Eric Holder raised the interesting proposition that the Constitution guarantees due process, not judicial process. Is there a real distinction, or did Eric Holder make that up out of thin air?
Well, we fully and totally reject the suggestion that the Constitution's guarantee of due process somehow does not mean judicial process in this kind of a context. When the government claims the sweeping and chilling power to kill its own citizens, except in very narrow circumstances, the courts have to be involved. The use of lethal force is only legal outside of a battlefield against somebody who poses a concrete, specific, and imminent threat. And if somebody actually does pose an imminent threat of harm or to the lives of others, then we recognize that there's no time to go to a court beforehand. But even in that kind of a circumstance, courts have a role after the fact to ensure that the government acted within the Constitution and within the law, and to hold government officials to account if they didn't. So the concept that somehow the executive branch on its own can declare people enemies of the state, put them on kill lists, and then kill them without oversight by the courts at all is really shocking.
The administration is claiming that it has never officially acknowledged that it ordered the targeted killing, that it was even involved in it. But at this point, is there anything plausible about the deniability that they're trying to put forward?
No, there really is no good argument from the government that they have yet to acknowledge their own responsibility for ordering and carrying out these drone strikes. Now, there are many details and important details that the public still doesn't have access to, and the ACLU has filed two Freedom of Information Act requests seeking that information. But government officials have repeatedly and specifically acknowledged U.S. responsibility for targeting and killing Anwar al-Awlaki, have acknowledged the CIA's and the military's drone and targeted killing programs, have taken credit for them, have tried to assure the public that they are accurate or wise or legal. So at this point, for the government to be asserting that somehow the existence of its targeted killing program or its killing of these citizens is a secret just is not credible.
And are you anticipating a state secrets defense?
It is entirely possible that the government will invoke the state secrets privilege. They did that in the case that we brought before Anwar al-Awlaki had been killed. Now, there are reasons that it was grossly inappropriate for the government to invoke the privilege in that first case, but those reasons are even more stark now. The government would essentially, if it invoked the state secrets privilege, would be saying not only should government officials not be held accountable when they kill U.S. citizens in contravention of the Constitution, but the government shouldn't even have to acknowledge, shouldn't even have to state publicly that they did in fact carry out those killings. That level of secrecy and that gross lack of accountability is simply inconsistent with the guarantees of the Constitution.
Could any of the defendants in this lawsuit claim to have qualified immunity from prosecution since they were carrying out these actions in line with their official duties?
Well, this is a lawsuit against specific officials stating that they violated the Constitution when they gave the orders to carry out these killings. We'll see what kind of specific arguments they make, but it is quite clear that under the Constitution and under international law, there are very narrow circumstances where the government is permitted to use lethal force. And the killings in this case simply did not meet the criteria under law.
Since these killings took place, despite its claim that the administration has yet to take ownership of the targeted killing program, the president has basically acknowledged that he personally makes the decision, the up or down call on who will be the target that gets killed. Why is he not named as a defendant in this lawsuit if he is taking personal responsibility for naming each person to be killed?
Presidents in the United States have legal immunity from this kind of a lawsuit for as long as they are in office. So certainly the president has involvement, and in some cases close involvement, in this program. We have sued, however, very high-level officials in the military and the CIA who authorize and direct the strikes that their agencies carry out and who have direct responsibility for the killings in this case.
Most of what we've described here has to do with constitutional guarantees. These attacks were carried out far from any acknowledged battlefield in any acknowledged war. These are violations of international law as well. Are these issues that will be considered in this case?
Yes, absolutely. The international law issues will come up necessarily as part of our constitutional claims. Because we're arguing that these U.S. citizens were killed in violation of the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment in a place outside the United States under international law frameworks, those frameworks necessarily inform how the U.S. Constitution is applied. So precisely because the killings were a violation of international law, they were not reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, and they did not provide due process under the Fifth Amendment. So we will be discussing those issues in tandem throughout this case.
Nate Wessler is a fellow with the American Civil Liberties Union's National Security Project.